I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck.
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
This podcast is over.
I think that's how God. He says this is Damien, but I've forgotten.
Oh my
already.
God. Oh, alright, and this is Damien.
How are you guys doing? It's been 2 weeks since we recorded.
It has been.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, you should see me. I'm full on not corporate Douglas.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've turned back to hipster Douglas.
Yes, I have. I actually have movies to talk about.
Hipster Douglas.
TV
though.
Show to talk about.
I don't think I like that name. I'm not a big fan of hippies.
No, a hipster is not a hippie. You have to remember this.
They're pretty much ours.
they're like the green hippies. Yes. Even though the hippies were already trying to be green.
Mm-hmm. Dirty.
I should ask. I have no clue whether I'm going to get a good response to this. How was your trip, Douglas? Is there anything like you want to tell us about your trip that you had?
I don't understand. What would be a bad response to that?
You saying like, no, I really don't want to say anything regarding to the podcast about my trip.
Oh, well, as far as the podcast is concerned, no, I did not go abroad to a bachelor party so that I could do things for the podcast.
No, I know that, but I mean, like, nothing you want to divulge.
Oh my God. No, it was fun. It was a nice little break. I did actually end up watching movies, which kind of contradicts what I just said a while ago. But but it was, you know, nice to not have to stress out over too many things. So that was good.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I guess we can just jump right in and talk about what we've been watching and just hand it to Douglas, since he seems to have things to talk about for the first time in how long, Damien? Months? Well, years?
A while. Okay, so first off, I just want to read from a prepared statement.
Okay.
Recently.
Is this where you tell me to go and fuck myself?
No.
We prepared that statement here.
That one's just waiting. It's on ice. excuse me. Some time ago, we spoke about
Disney's
a movie. How do you know I'm talking about a movie? Some time ago, we spoke about a fairly popular movie, of which I had strong opinions on. Mm-hmm. Yes, I ended that sentence with a preposition. Fuck you, grammar police. I have since revisited said feature film and have decided that I will be the bigger man.
Alright.
And
I'm back on board. This is the best podcast ever.
And apologize to both of my co-hosts and you, the single listener that we have remaining. Avengers is awesome.
Oh god, so
so okay, alright. I need to get into specifics at this point, right? Because you were very, very negative about this film. And you got ridiculously detailed when you were talking about how much you hated this movie. I want to know what aspects, other than the Hulk, which you already love, that you have turncoated on, that you have decided to go into bed with Marvel.
With Disney.
Well,
with Disney, Marvel. Sorry.
I guess the best way to describe it would be everything.
Yeah.
I'm still not a big fan of Loki, but that movie is just straight up action packed and fun and great to watch.
Right.
And
no one said it was going to revolutionize storytelling in movies. That shit was fun.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I concur with my my associate.
So does that mean that Douglas has been kicked out and child Douglas is beside us talking to us on the podcast today?
It means that freed from the stress of work, child Douglas was able to roam free and enjoy goddamn Avengers.
Yes, it was funny because my friends were like, listen, we're going to watch either Avengers or The Dictator, and I was like, but I've seen both of them. And they're like, we don't care, you're going to have to choose. So, I ended up watching The Avengers.
My question is, under your hatred of The Avengers, what made you choose that over The Dictator?
Because The Dictator was bad too.
I must agree with that statement.
And I figured, you know what? Everybody really loved The Avengers, maybe there's something that I haven't seen.
Yeah, maybe there's something to that movie.
I actually went and rewatched Avengers at the IMAX last weekend, and yeah, it's still awesome. I just thought I'd put my two cents in since we're all doing Avengers talk.
Okay.
But anyways.
Great. Anyway, other than that, I've watched quite a few things. I saw Prometheus, Let the Battle Begin, because I know what my esteemed colleague here thinks on that movie. But I actually enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was beautiful. I thought Fassbottom was excellent and a dick throughout that movie.
Did you see the end of that movie?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Just making sure that he didn't walk over like an hour.
Can we please stop calling him Fassbottom?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That guy was...
Douglas, I was on board with Prometheus. I don't want anybody to think that I think that movie is a bad movie.
Because
that is not the case. But it fell apart towards the end, as I'm pretty sure everyone agrees. There are some questions that... There's quite a few questions that go unanswered. My problem is, he put out fake TED Talks for this movie, Douglas. And those trailers were nothing short of spectacular. In fact, probably some of the best trailers. It's probably the best trailer I've seen since the original Watchmen trailer. I love that first Prometheus trailer. So for you to put out a movie isn't spectacular is a little bit... I think my hopes going into that movie may have been too... Probably were too high. Sure. Probably was too high. But I still, the movie didn't live up to it. There's
you
things
know
that could have.
I think
better.
I think that's where you and I differ, because I had seen the TED Talk trailer that you're talking about only after I saw the regular old commercial trailer, which showed nothing of the greatness of this movie. It kind of just portrayed it as a regular old action space movie, and so I was actually concerned. So when I went into the movie, I knew I wanted to watch it, but I was kind of setting myself up saying, okay Douglas, this could be bad, but you need to watch it anyway. And so that maybe that's why we have differing views, but I really did enjoy that movie. I thought it did well. I think there were, as you said, there's some oddities about the ending that I don't particularly like or think were great, but overall it was a pretty decent movie.
Hopefully, like the next time I see it,
mm-hmm.
I'll have I mean, it won't be as big a swing as with you and Avengers.
Yeah, clearly.
But hopefully, like, now that I've seen it and I kind of know what to expect, maybe the next time I watch it, I'll like it a little bit more. Because I mean, for more reasons than just the movie, I walked out of Carib a bit disappointed about that.
Also, I didn't watch it in Carib, which made
that
it
might
much better.
Because the sound inside of that theater was... you know how there's a lot of quiet scenes in Prometheus?
Yeah.
Try not watching that. Don't watch it out there.
So I got good sound, good video, no intermission, shit.
I
saw the movie.
Yeah, I think I don't. Can I go back and watch that movie with you?
Have you guys read any of the online talks about Ridley Scott's intention and interpretation of that film?
No, and I don't want to. I don't
care
what
you're
saying.
Okay, then I'll stop talking now.
No.
Keep talking.
You can keep talking. I'm just telling you that his intention is.
Right. Damien, before you go there, I agree with what you say. Because we've talked about this kind of thing before where filmmakers will say, this is what I think this movie's about. But when you watch it really closely looking for that, they've failed to get there. Right? However, this is a case where... I saw hints of this when I was watching the movie, and I'm looking forward to going and revisiting the movie. I didn't quite love it as much as I hoped. My issue was with towards the second act, where it became more of a monster movie. I liked a lot of the faith versus science talk that was going on in the movie, which is a lot of what Ridley Scott was intending with the film. He even goes so far as to talk about the ideas of all of these engineers and these aliens being the gods, and how that black goo in the film represents creation. And like, for example, the opening scene where you see one of the engineers drinking the black goo and dying, that was supposed to represent him sacrificing himself for creation of the world, which I felt was ridiculously hard to pick out when you're watching the movie. But when I was reading back this interview with Ridley Scott, it seemed like a very interesting concept. And as I said, I'm looking forward to looking back at the movie to see how much of that really paid off.
Yes, the youngster told me the same thing, and I responded by slapping him in the face and telling him that clearly that was not the case, because that opening scene had absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Please tell me, Ridley Scott, I know he listens, so let me ask him.
Because we're that big a podcast.
Right. I mean, everybody knows that. I think we're number one in the world.
Yeah.
Syndicated all over. No. Yeah. All right, so Mr. Scott.
Tarantino, if you're listening, can you please call me?
What on earth? What happened with that first scene, guy? why was that necessary? What a way to start off this big blockbuster movie with something weird, and then having it have nothing. Mm-hmm. Not even a callback. Nothing, just, okay, that happened, and let's go into this movie. Like, alright, I guess he's going to explain what the hell just... Nope. Welcome to Prometheus.
Because they're gods. There's no need for them to explain
what
they do to us peons.
I don't...
They just break our heads off and move on.
Ridley Scott, do you realize that you have disappointed me probably for the last time? That this is all your goodwill burnt up.
You know, though, at least Idris Elba did get laid. I mean, that was...
I think he's doing pretty well for himself.
Yeah,
both on and off screen.
I think so.
Charlize Theron is about 80 now. She still looks smoky.
Oh, yes.
Holy shit. It's not the acting that brought down that movie. It's just that horseshit story towards the end.
Awesome.
The Dictator.
I also watched...
You brought it up briefly.
We spoke about it last week, I think.
Okay.
I also watched a movie that I'd started to watch a long time ago and promised myself to finish and never did.
Miller's Crossing.
Let's not talk about it. I watched Half Nelson, which is one of Ryan Gosling's, I don't want to call it early movies, but early ones when he was kind of on the up and coming list. And it was really good. I don't know why I waited this long. I mean, it's not as if I didn't even know about the movie, or that I knew about the movie but had never actually seen what it was. I had actually seen the first half and thought it was amazing and just stopped. So I'm not sure where that, what that makes me, you know. Clearly not logical. But anyway, that movie was fantastic. And it really just kind of, you know, showed the downfall of this guy and his relationship with his student, and it was just fantastic. also watched Killer Elite, starring Robert De Niro and Jason.
Didn't Stephen. I warn you, Douglas?
Douglas, why? I like an explanation. You went, I've seen all these great movies. There's nothing else. I've run out of good movies to watch.
Listen, is priest loving Douglas coming back?
Here's what I'll say to that. Mm-hmm. The way I watched it made this movie absolutely great. Because I never actually watched it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
My friend was watching it all the way through, and I'm sure that there are major problems with that movie, but I saw all the action scenes.
Okay.
And that was a pretty awesome movie. I would venture to say that I watched the Damien cut, DC.
The DC. I'd have to watch the movie again in order to get that done. No.
I think we should have more DCs.
Sounds like a fun project, but I'd have to watch that movie again. I don't want to do that.
Damien just posts up 10-minute YouTube videos of movies where they're like, this is the DC of
right.
Watchmen.
Better version of this movie.
Alright, also, I watched a TV show, a British TV show by the name of Criminal Justice. It stars Ben Whishaw and Pete Postlethwaite. This TV show, as with most Brit TV shows, was only one season. It was a very specific story. It was about this guy, Ben Coulter, who, I don't know, went out on a one-night jaunt with this random lady that he picked up that night, and she ends up dead, and he ends up looking like he killed her, and he goes to, well, I don't want to say prison, but lockup, and, you know, he goes through the motions of the of how, well, not necessarily how the murder happened, because you never actually know what happened, but before, you know, he gets arrested, while he gets arrested, and the public defender comes to his aid, and, you know, there's all these no comments in the interviews with the police, and then the actual case and the trial and everything, and I was kind of disappointed with Netflix, because Netflix gave this something like two and a half stars out of five, and I was engaged the whole way through. I thought this show was really good. I mean, if you think about it, it's definitely not as good as things like The Take, or The Take, because I
Or Luther,
or The Inside Man. It definitely is not anywhere close to those. But it still is a really good show. I would definitely give it like a 3.5 easy.
Hold on one second.
Yeah.
You said you didn't like the fact that Netflix gave it 2.5 out of 5. That's what you said, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Aren't all those ratings just an aggregate of people out there?
I'm sure, yes. I didn't literally mean that Netflix, the company, had
Mr.
rated
Netflix.
This. I apologize, Andrew, if I wasn't clear.
Mr. Netflix gave this 2.5 stars. The word came down from corporate. I saw this 2.5 stars.
I need to go and look at what they gave that silent movie. One, the artist. I need to go and look.
Oh yeah, that just
artist.
Came out. I sent you that email. That just came out on Netflix.
Yeah.
But what was I saying? Yeah, no, I thought the show was great. I mean, acting is pretty superb. I'm actually, I kind of want to see now what this Ben Whishaw character has done otherwise. So that's that. But also, I wanted to talk about a movie that we have all seen, we have all talked about. But I thought, and my friends thought, was very necessary for this trip. So just to give you a little bit of history or context, I recently went to the States. I went to New York City with two of my very good friends, one of which is married and the other is actually about to get married. And
suckers.
Yeah, I know, right? we did this thing. It's a weird social event. It's called a bachelor's party or a stag. They would say in England.
Never heard of this.
I know.
It's like a new thing.
Yeah, exactly. I knew you wouldn't. It's okay. It's not in our culture.
Oh, right.
Okay. This is first world shit, man.
Oh. Yes.
But so we had our bachelor party, or had his bachelor party rather. We're out until about 7 or 8 o'clock the next morning. You know, went pretty well. The day after, when we finally got back, you know, settled and whatnot, we decided, you know what, it's time to watch The Hangover, because how can you not? And so I watched The Hangover this week, and guess what? It's fucking hilarious.
So Douglas, are you saying you didn't watch the Tom Hanks classic Bachelor Party?
No, I did not, but I have watched that movie, if you would like to speak about it.
I just thought that would have been a more
I love
correct
actually that... well, Tom Hanks remembers his Bachelor Party, right? There we go.
I'm just fascinated by the fact that the computer is losing to the computer in a game of pong.
Yes, but I love Tom Hanks. 80s Tom Hanks. He was hilarious. He needs to become that again one day. He tries every once in a while, but it doesn't quite work.
No, I'm sure he doesn't want to become that anymore.
He was funny on 30 Rock, that one cameo he had.
When was he on 30 Rock?
This season.
Oh, I probably haven't watched it yet. I'm kind of way behind in that.
So what else?
No,
I miss Matt Damon in 30 Rock.
Yeah. Anyway, you know what,
Andron? When is Bourne coming? When is Bourne coming out?
That's August.
This summer, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and it's with Renault.
Right. So it's Batman, Total Recall, and then Bourne. All right.
I think Bourne might be before Batman.
Oh, that's
I don't know.
No,
I need to double check
before Batman. Nobody's that stupid.
So, Damian.
Yes. Oh, it's my turn.
Yes.
Fair enough. So the last 2 weeks I've watched not that much. I've been a little busy. I started watching The Legend of Korra. My phone says Korea. The Legend of Korra, which is fantastic. The Legend of Korra, that's the follow-up series to Avatar, and everybody who's seen it has said it's pretty good, and turns out they're right. It's really fun. It keeps most of the sensibilities from the original show. The new cast is pretty good, and the storyline is great because they find a way to essentially have a cartoon about class warfare be accessible to pretty much anybody, and that could not have been easy. I've only seen about 6 episodes, and it's going on at a steady pace. The first episode was pretty much the strongest. The rest have been a little less than, but all in all, it's been really, really good, and I can't wait to, you know, see where they take it. We've already talked about Prometheus. I finally got to see Safe House, which Andrew despises. I don't know what Douglas' feelings on the movie is.
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
So part of me wants to defend this movie, but after all the things I said about Prometheus, I can't really then turn and say that Safe House is great, because it shares similar problems to Prometheus. The first hour or so is pretty good, and then the third act falls to pieces. In fact, the end of the show is pretty bad. Aggressively so. There's decisions that they made about the Denzel character and pretty much everybody else that is in this movie. And there are a lot of stars in this movie. But the ending of this movie is weak. I can't understand why Andrew disliked some of this movie, but in his review, he pretty much shat all over this movie, which I don't understand. I guess he hates Ryan Reynolds now because he did Green Lantern, I don't know. But
there was also the change-up, and that hurt my feelings.
Alright. Did I watch the change?
Andrew, did you not know that Ryan Reynolds does bad movies?
I've discovered that over time. I lied to myself
over
for a very long while. I lied
over
to myself
time?
For a very long while because he's
Look,
funny.
Van Wilder is amazing. Seriously, we're going to IMDb. Ryan Reynolds.
I just want to.
You have to know.
No, I do know. I just want Andrew to know.
Okay.
Let me just.
Let's go through this.
Douglas, I've told you, I've been lying to myself for a very long while.
Okay. First off, he was in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the TV movie.
That's unfair.
That's unfair. All right,
that's unfair.
Let's bring it up a little bit.
Start from where he hit off.
Right.
Van Wilder.
Van Wilder.
Okay.
Right.
Then we've got Bang the Cow. Have you ever watched that movie?
I don't know what that is.
Oh my,
shit.
That movie was disgusting.
Holy shit.
Then
Foolproof.
He was in
it's
the
In-Laws. So bad.
Actually, kind of
so
like,
good.
Foolproof. Really.
It's bad, but I love it.
No. He was in Blade Trinity. How bad is that?
He was in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Don't skip that.
What's that? Skip it. It does not.
You don't get. Just Friends is good. Waiting is good. Amityville Horror, I've never seen
that. He was in Smoking Aces.
Destroying Goodwill.
All
the Nines
right.
is
okay.
He was
in
Series Fun. Definitely me. Alright, no, he's saved himself. Alright, this conversation is over. Ryan Reynolds is good.
He's in Adventureland. Adventureland is shit.
He's in Definitely
Wolverine.
Maybe.
He's
in Definitely Maybe. I don't care
he's
what
in
he said.
Wolverine.
Definitely
Fuck.
Maybe. It's over. Definitely Maybe.
He's
Paper
in
Man Proposal.
Shush. Where
Paper
fuck
Man Proposal.
Good
Nope. It's not the best record, but it's a good record. He tried hard with Change Up and some of those other shit shows, but good work, son. Although those movies that are in pre-production,
wow,
they don't
look
good.
Eyes.
They don't
Dudes, look good. Yo, let's move on. Let's not talk about Ryan Reynolds.
Okay, we just saw the poster for Big Eyes coming out next year.
That poster's
wow.
awesome.
Holy shit.
Oh my goodness.
I guess I have to go and find the page, no.
Right. So while Andrew and Douglas disappears into the internet, I also saw Driving Miss Daisy. I remember seeing this movie a long time ago, and I rewatch this movie. There he goes. The internet.
I'm sorry. I should have muted my mic. Sorry.
Driving Miss Daisy is not very good. It's really kind of boring, and it's kind of disappointing because we have a running joke, me, Andrew, and Levi, about Driving Miss Daisy. And I think that joke may have elevated my view, my expectation of this movie.
Can I just say, I don't think I've ever watched that movie.
You,
You're racist.
Well, we knew that. Comes as a surprise to no one. I guess I expected more out of a movie like this. I mean, it's talked about with such reverence, but the movie itself, I understand that the movie is telling a story that needs to be told or some such nonsense, but the movie itself,
stories that need to be told
isn't
generally
very good.
Suck.
Isn't very good. I expected a lot more. The acting is, I mean, everything about the movie is good. It's just that the movie as a whole isn't very good, and I was really kind of disappointing. Maybe, what was it now? 17 years ago, this movie was a triumph, but it certainly is not now. And I've fallen into the trap of watching one of my favorite movies of all time, the John Cusack classic, Better Off Dead. Now, guys, why aren't we making more movies like this? What is going on? Every time I watch this movie, how did they get away with making a movie like this?
Hey man, don't you love if you get a foreign chick to be your friend and a monkey wrench your car magically turns into brand new?
Andrew, I love the Korean brothers.
Yes.
I mean, there's other things about this movie.
The paper boy.
Oh my
so
god. There is so much about this movie that
Douglas
is
being an 80s person, I don't know how he's not chiming in.
Fantastic.
Wait, hold on, I have to decide if I've watched this movie yet. The one liner doesn't help me.
Douglas, if you haven't seen this movie, I don't care what you have to do.
It's the one with John Cusack where he's skiing in the 80s.
Right.
Skiing.
Yes.
And there's like a foreign an exchange student. Yes, I have seen this movie. Okay. Yes. I have seen this movie. Okay. I thought I had. I saw a picture with him in like a pig thing, and I was like, that looks familiar, but I wasn't sure. Okay. Yeah.
Douglas, this movie, it doesn't even attempt to make sense.
No, of course not.
It is.
But
so
that's what's so great about
so
80s
good.
Movies. They don't need to make sense.
Oh my god.
They just need to be fun.
And it is. This movie is absolutely one of, like, every time I've scrolled past it, you do that double take thing, and you tell yourself, Damon, you've seen this movie so many times, right? You probably should watch other movies so that you can talk about other movies. But the computer hears you and rotates it back. It starts playing it automatically. Sure, my hand might have been on the keyboard. I have to blame
and
the computer.
2 hours magically pass.
And I'm dying with laughter and cannot fall asleep because I'm so busy trying to process all the madness that just happened. Guys, if anybody out there has not seen Better Off Dead, hit pause. Go and watch this movie and then you can go back to the rest of your life. You will not regret it. No one has ever seen this movie and gone, I don't like this. I don't think it was that good. It's never happened and it will never happen. This movie is Van Wilder before Van Wilder. It's fantastic. And that's pretty much it. I've seen some other things, but like I saw the new episode of MASH? No, what's the Dallas, right. After 900 years, they have brought back Dallas, and I sat with my sister and watched the first episode. She was impressed. And I punch her in the face that shows so bad. Fuck all of the people who make anything that has anything to do with Dallas. Are you guys crazy? Who is that show for? Can someone explain it to me, please?
Obviously, your sister, Damien.
Anybody
Obviously.
Who used to watch Dallas is dead. They've done the research. All the people who watched Dallas when it came out, they're dead.
Aren't the idols dead at this point?
All of them. Right, they have some CG people that kind of look like the old actors, I'm guessing. And I don't like the precedent that this sets. I don't want them to start reviving even older shows. holy shit, the show is bad. I hope it gets, but of course, as shows like this are wont to do, great shows get cancelled immediately. This shit show got about 19 million people watching it on the first episode. So we'll be seeing a lot more Dallas, guys. Get ready. This is fun. This is fun. Can't wait till they bring back Friends.
Why would you say something like that, Damien? Why would you jinx it?
They brought back Dallas. Do you even know what Dallas is? No, you don't.
I know what it is.
No, you
I've
don't.
I've never seen it, but I know
of
what it
course
is.
You haven't. Right? You were born when the internet was made.
It's like the other Little House on the Prairie.
Oh my god.
Except in Dallas. Is it in Dallas?
I don't care.
No, Andrew. It's not in Dallas.
It's in Florida. That's why they call it Dallas.
Simple fuck bastard. Is wrong with you.
Alright, Andrew, you know what? Seems like you're getting a bit restless over there. What have you seen?
I've seen a couple of things. First off, I got around to finally watching Howard Hawks' film His Girl Friday. The movie starring Cary Grant, and I was going to say someone, but it's the wrong person and I can't remember what the woman's name is. The movie is fantastic in its own right of screwball comediness. I do take issue with the fact that they make Cary Grant be pretty much the biggest asshole ever. And still get his way by the end of the movie and pretend to make you want to like him, which isn't right. Have you guys seen this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Which movie is this?
His Girl Friday.
No.
It's about a news editor played by Cary Grant on this one day when his ex-wife walks back into the office, a former reporter at his paper, saying she's going to get married tomorrow to this other guy. And she's giving her official resignation. And it sounds completely like the lady from Hudsucker Proxy. Completely like that for the entire movie. Basically he says, okay, I'm going to let you go from the paper if you do this one story for me. And he uses this entire day to create all of these roadblocks for her to actually end up leaving the paper. And tries to remind her how much she loves being a news person rather than going off and marrying this other guy and leaving the work and the life and all of this stuff. And Cary Grant does everything in his power. He gets the husband to be arrested for around 5 different things. He gets the husband to be arrested, mother to be arrested for about 6 other things. He tricks his wife into doing, ex-wife, sorry, to doing more than, and then by the end of the movie, they pretty much say, you know what, we're just going to get back together and we'll be newspaper people together. But it's just such an asshole move, and at the same time, there are these moments when they're having this quick dialogue where Cary Grant will have a bit of body language to it, where he'll say something like an effeminate joke, and he'll give a pose like he's doing it, but it just looks so awkward to me to see Cary Grant trying to pretend to be female, feminine in his motions, and it was just so weird. It's a really good movie, but there are some issues I have with it. I also got around to watching Indie Game the movie, this new documentary. They follow 3 different independent game developers. They go through development to marketing to design to publishing and the after effects of putting out the game. And I don't quite consider this to be a really great documentary, but I do find it interesting, mainly to myself as a computer programmer, because when I first wanted to do this, become a computer programmer, it was because of video games. It was because I looked at video games and I said, I want to know how to make those. And to be honest, watching this movie, it's made me go, thank God someone introduced me to PHP and web development. Because I became a game developer and that became my life of 3 years of eating ramen. Because I spent my days in and out creating this video game, which is amazing, an amazing thing to create. But then not having like a company behind me going, here's your paycheck this month, I think I would die. And these people go through a lot of issues throughout the process. I do particularly like There is one point where one of the developers, they get him at the stage where he's already released his first game, and it's pretty much revered, a revered game. I've never heard of it. I don't know if you have. It's called Braid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he talks about how he would see a lot of the reviews come out, and they would talk about his game, and they would say about how amazing it was, but they would talk about all the superficial things, and he would say, I can't believe no one saw all these other wonderful things I put into the game. And it kind of reminds me of, like, if Terrence Malick was to come out and talk to critics about The Tree of Life, who just never got that one thing that he put in there. It kind of came off like that, which was kind of interesting to me. But yeah, it's an interesting movie, especially if you're into video games as a developer, not so much as a user, I don't think. Also, I got around to watching the newest Sarah Polley film, Take This Waltz, which I did a bonus podcast with Rachel Fox.
Yes, cheating on us yet again.
Yes, and she podcasted me under the table. it is at this point, I think, my favorite movie of the year. It is a ridiculously amazing story about the difficult choice someone has to do when they're in a committed relationship and happy, but they might just see something better across the field, the other side of the fence, and how two different kind versions of happy and what you do when you what decision you have to make at that point. I really love Michelle Williams' performance in it. Seth Rogen is also great. And
that movie.
The guy, please. Yeah, that movie.
That movie looks kind of good.
And it is. I can't imagine Douglas was there whispering, like, "Oh, Andrew likes another shitty movie that I'm going to have to watch." I know you know which movie I'm talking about.
Wait, so you've seen it? So you can see it then?
It's on VOD on Amazon.
Okay, definitely. So I'm gonna fire up my Amazon Prime Video thingy and watch it then.
Yeah, it is an amazing movie. You guys need to watch it. Also, with Prometheus coming out, I actually sat down and I rewatched all of the Alien movies. I actually got the box set off Amazon while it was on sale.
Really?
And I'm going to talk about
the third one and the fourth one. Why?
Because I really wanted the first two, and I was willing to pay the price. It was $30 for the four movies. I'm like, sure.
The first two were like $10 or something.
I don't care. I like the box. It's pretty. And I'm going to talk about Alien and Aliens, right? Everyone knows how they feel about those movies. But I actually rewatched Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection because I really don't remember those movies. I know I watched Alien 3 a long time ago, like in the early stages of this podcast, when we were talking about David Fincher. Back when we were doing, like, filmmakers retrospective kind of things. And I think we might have been overly kind to that movie at the time, I don't remember. But watching these movies again, I kind of feel like I like Alien Resurrection more than Alien 3. And I know I'm setting the bar low, but I kind of use the reasoning that I think Alien Resurrection Alien Resurrection revels in how bad it is a lot more than Alien 3 tries to be a good movie. David Fincher tried to make a good movie out of what he had, and it just turned out to be horrible. Alien Resurrection, I don't know the guy's name, but he's the guy who did Amelie and Micmac and all those things.
Jean-Pierre Junot. How do you not know his name?
I didn't want to mess it up by saying
JPJ for short.
He just knew from the get-go that this movie was going to be horrible, and he just piled on all bad movie tropes into a way that made it an enjoyable bad movie, including having Ron Perlman in it, which I feel is always an added point whenever you're making a bad movie. Put Ron Perlman in your movie, and he will make scenes enjoyable.
I don't like where you're going with this Ron Perlman hate. Alright, you need to stop it. Ron Perlman.
Sorry, did you cut out there? What's going on?
Fair enough.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I've been watching. So this week in trailers, what we wanted to talk about was first the new film by Robert Zemeckis starring Denzel Washington, Damien's number one boyfriend, Denzel Washington. Called Flight, which Damien loves, I think, because he gets drunk and crashes a plane.
How you feeling, man? Look like you pulled some kind of move up there, man. You saved a lot of lives.
We are in a dive.
I have no control on my side.
We going to
everybody embrace positions.
The way you landed that plane was nothing short of a miracle.
I see nothing but houses.
Listen to me. Trim us nose down.
Plane fell apart at 30,000 feet.
We're gonna roll it.
What do you mean roll it?
Ready? Here we go.
What do you think of this trailer?
I thought we said we'd never talk about that. One time. The one time. I got drunk. And I cried. All right, we're going to harp on this forever.
Jesus Christ. You're the worst friend in history.
All right. So Robert Zemeckis has put out great movies. You don't know any of them.
A long time ago.
Because for the last couple of years.
Last 10
right,
to 20
he
years.
He decided that, you know what's wrong with movies? Actors. You know what's right with movies? Computers. So he went down the road of trying to recreate as best possible actors using computers. And it didn't really work. So now he's back, finally, to making movies with real people. He's found a way, though, to put a lot of CG in it, though. It is not running away from computers quite yet. So in Flight, Denzel Washington plays a captain that lands a plane, as only he can, of course, he's Denzel. And there is some backlash over it. Apparently he might go to prison, and so half of the people think he's a hero, and the FAA is busy trying to put him in prison, and the trailer looks amazing. As Douglas was sat beside me and we were watching this trailer, and we were more than a little impressed. It looks great. They reminded us, funnily enough, not of his cartoon movies. The two movies that they made mention of, he put out about 15 years ago. So they, in the trailer, they make mention of, I think it was Castaway, and what was the other one that they made mention of?
I don't know.
Right. But none of the fully animated movies. And Denzel looks spectacular in it. I know I'm rambling a bit, but the trailer just looks, it looks fun. I'm glad to see that Zemeckis is back to doing live action. His foray into Pixar territory didn't really work. So it's nice to see, because he's clearly a talented director.
Wouldn't what he was doing more James Cameron territory? You know, the motion capture, 3D stuff, rather than
full. They look like Disney characters. It's cartoon. Oh. It looked like a cartoon. No matter how hard he tried, it still looked like a cartoon. And if you're going to do that, I mean, Beowulf was, oh my god. I mean, you saw the effort that he put into it, but it still came out bad. But this looks legit. It's coming out in. Not to stop distracting me. It's coming out in November, and it's just really nice to see that Zemeckis is back to doing live action. Andrew.
I quite love this trailer. I mean, I didn't quite like the fact that...
And Upside Down Plane, which is...
Yes, Upside Down Plane. I didn't quite like the fact that it seems like it's pretty much the whole movie in the trailer, but of course every trailer does that, so why should we complain? It it looks like a really good movie. It looks like one of those movies that it'll just rest on Denzel's shoulders, and we can trust that because Denzel is that good. I mean, what was that, Douglas?
Was that a spit take about Denzel being that good?
Well,
is that what just happened?
All I'm gonna say is, what has he done lately?
He was in Safe House, wasn't he? Oh, wait.
Sorry. I don't know. I haven't watched that movie. But what you just did for Safe House can be done for any movie he's been in the last 20 years.
Actually, you know what? Even with Safe House, I do give props to Denzel.
I mean,
he does do what he does good, right?
There are a few exceptions, such as Inside Man. But in the last 20 years, Denzel has been... poor to piss poor.
Creasy
generally.
Hair. That's all I have to say.
That movie was awesome.
Over. I don't even want to hear any more conversations that you, I mean, Man on Fire might be the best movie that has ever come out. of all time. There's no, I mean, Douglas may have doubts about Denzel's ability to carry a movie, but I'm pretty sure it's Douglas alone on the planet. Everybody else has more sense.
No, of course I'm joking. Denzel is fantastic. Denzel just makes poor decisions when it comes to scripts.
Dude, the guy has children to feed. What's your problem?
I'm pretty sure he was feeding his children while he was making good movies, Andrew.
No, he wasn't. Not when he was one of the most popular men in America. Never mind, he gets about $1 billion movie, whether it's shit or not.
You want me to talk about the trailer?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Upside down, please.
This trailer looks pretty. This trailer is very pretty.
Oh, and your boy Don Cheadle is in it.
Fuck you.
You can't hate on him now because he watched that show on Showtime. And you love it. You know you love
it's
it.
It's more what? John Goodman I'm looking
what?
At.
What?
You know you love it.
What?
What's the name of that show again?
Exactly.
Holy
That's how
shit.
Good that show is. That you don't even know the
I don't
name
remember
of it.
The name of the show.
Yeah.
The Andrew Help.
I'm not.
I'm trying to remember myself right now.
I'm not gonna tell you.
House of Lies.
House of Lies. You love House of Lies. You love it.
Listening to the Kevin Pollak episode with the guy on that show
so
was talking on that.
You can't hate. You can't hate on Don Cheadle anymore because he loves his TV show.
Do you like that show?
I love it.
You
I don't know
it.
Why.
You
I don't know why.
I am.
You know you love.
Ashamed to say, I've watched the full season.
The whole of it.
the whole of it, yes. And I still don't not like it. But I wouldn't say that it's a great TV show in any respect.
I need to work on a chart about how we rank shows.
Damien, just remember Douglas when he was talking up when he was catching up on Chuck. He was going, yeah, for around 3 seasons, and
yeah.
I did not like
yeah.
the show.
Right.
And then the 4th
right.
season started, and I loved it.
120
you know
hours in,
you know
the show
know?
Is amazing.
The one thing that I'd say about Chuck, where Chuck wins over House of Lies, is that with Chuck, I didn't have a whole off-season to decide whether I wanted to actually start watching the second season. I just could keep going. House of Lies, I'm not sure... I don't know if I'm going to watch you next year, so
you know
you better come right.
You know you are. Look, they're rebooting Dallas, alright? We are boned. It's not going to get any better.
They've got some good
and
TV
and Breaking Bad is having its last season, so...
Yes, it starts next week.
Is anybody here watching Men at Work?
No. Is
no.
it good? It doesn't look good.
It is. It is okay at best.
So why did you ask that question?
I just wanted to see if anybody else was watching. I was hoping that maybe it's just me again, like with girls. But
did Douglas talk about Flight?
Oh, this trailer is pretty.
Right, okay,
it's a little bit confusing because it's odd, right? So there are portions of this trailer where they talk about him as a hero because no one could have landed that plane like him.
Right.
There are other portions of this movie where the same person says,
it's prison time. So.
Yeah, they checked your blood and your alcohol level was high and you could go to prison for the rest of your life. Now, I don't quite understand the tug of war there because as far as I'm concerned, you know, you drunk drive and kill people, you know, you go to jail.
Right.
You drunk fly, you go to jail.
No,
right?
Drunk fly and
no, no, no. I understand that
right.
there's extenuating circumstances, whatever.
Right.
But I don't get this tug of war. Either it is that his blood alcohol was high, therefore do not skip go. Go directly to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh wait, that was a mistake, sorry. You're good to go. You are an American hero.
But they,
I don't get how both of those things.
Because Douglas.
No.
They
no.
said in the trailer that
no,
they
I,
had the best
I
pilots
know,
in the world.
I know they said that.
Won the simulator.
But this is why, and I guess,
and
I guess
everybody's
I said,
dead up.
I guess what I'm going to have to say to this is that I'm going to have to accept that this is a movie because. I feel
what?
That in
what?
That this just doesn't make logical sense to me. To me, it doesn't matter how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that you would have been better if you weren't fucking drunk. Therefore, you need to go to prison.
Yeah, but
right?
if he didn't
it's
save the people, then there wouldn't have been the debate. Everyone would have been dead. And they wouldn't have to do this. But because he did, even while drunk,
but even the debate doesn't even look like it's being done in court. It looks like it's being done
because they can't do it
in
the
either
FAA,
in the corporate or it may be FAA.
There's no court
you know,
to
like
go to because no one is dead. Right? If people died and
well,
healed,
no,
then
I'm
you
sure
would have
it's
been in
illegal
prison.
To fly while under
I'm
the influence.
Sure. Yes, it is. But
so
that is not a
court.
Police matter. That is the FAA. Because you fly.
No, but laws
it's a regulation.
Police.
It's not a law.
Yeah. Yes, but
no, I'm sure it's a law. If you can't drive while you're drunk, then I'm pretty sure that there's a law for the other one.
Mm-mm.
I want. I imagine at times at the end of this.
I worked at
like,
civil aviation.
Okay.
I'm not guessing, guys.
No,
there is
no
law.
No. You worked at civil aviation in Jamaica.
Oh. All right. Fair enough.
Right.
Fair enough.
Wow.
All right. Can I agree with that?
However. This movie looks like it could provide me with sufficient entertainment for me to enjoy it. Therefore,
oh
I probably
God.
Will swallow my pride and watch this film.
Another trailer which came out recently was for the newest Disney movie, Wreck-It Ralph.
Nice share, Ralph. As fellow bad guys, we've all felt what you're feeling.
I'm Zangief, I'm bad guy.
Hi, Zangief.
Ralph, you are bad guy. But this does not mean you're bad guy.
Zombie, bad guy.
Hi, zombie.
Hi, zombie.
Zangief saying, labels not make you happy. Good, bad. You must love you.
I don't want to be the bad guy anymore. Ralph abandoned his game.
Where's the wrecking guy?
Welcome to Game Central Station. Trains for all game destinations now boarding.
Everything changes now.
Where's Ralph?
Stand by. My Kubernetes is a little...
Douglas, what did you think of this trailer?
Honestly, I didn't think the trailer was that good. It didn't really pull me, but I'm gonna have to go with the fact that this is Disney, and they've pulled off a lot of great stuff in
like
that time.
Like John Carthel and Tron,
And the Avengers,
and
Iron Man, and almost
no,
anything that Pixar
Iron
has
Man.
Done.
They didn't own Iron
That's
Man.
That's true. They didn't own him at the time, but almost anything Pixar has done. So, I'm just going to say that I love John C. Reilly.
Wait, what?
I think his name is Kenneth Jim McBrayer, who plays Kenneth in 30 Rock. I love him too.
Sarah Silverman
I actually do kind of like from
Jane
time to
Lynch
time.
Is in it.
Jane Lynch is in it. This has great star power. It has a pretty good company backing it. I'm going to watch it. The trailer just isn't good enough. This isn't my phone. Oh wait, no, it was my phone.
Shut up, you man.
Wow. I actually really love this trailer, and for some reason, when I saw it for the first time and finished, I'm like, is this a real game? I like had to Wikipedia it to see if it was actually a game they were taking this from, but it wasn't. I love when they get to the bad guy anonymous room, whatever it is, and you see people like Zangief there and right. stuff like that. That's just
only Disney can do that.
Want to know how much money they had to spend to get.
Can you imagine even if they didn't spend a lot of money, can you imagine how many meetings had to happen in order to get all those characters just to sit in that room? Holy shit. Well, that is like, amazing.
And even further, like when you go more into the trailer, and Ralph has gone off on his adventure,
right.
And the guy who Kenneth is playing, the hero of the Wreck-It Ralph game, ends up talking to Q-Bert.
Yes.
Like, I remember that game. I loved that game to death.
That game was awesome. Except
I never
it was
beat
not.
It though.
Andrew, there are Nintendo characters. there are Capcom. There are so many of these, major and auxiliary characters in this one trailer. Legal must have had nightmares for months trying to get this done. Because you know the second one person says, you know what, I don't want it in this movie. Right? People have to be running around and deleting characters out of scenes. I cannot wait to see this. I cannot wait. Disney, well done.
This movie does look fantastic.
The trailer is great. Just because I get to see all these characters together, as only Disney can do. I'm pretty sure a game for Wreck-It Ralph won't come out.
I did see someone out there has actually made a Wreck-It Ralph game, and it's out on the internet. A build is out. You can get it.
No, I'm talking an official game. because if that goes on anyone's system, all hell will break loose. But I'm impressed. I like the concept, and the trailer looks fun. Hopefully the movie itself. John C. Reilly's in it, so even though there's some of his movies I haven't loved, he clearly makes a lot of good decisions. He's the anti-Denzel. Most of the things he's in is pretty good. I guess he doesn't have children to feed, right, Andrew?
I guess. Right. Character actors can't have children, can they?
Right. Alright. And now for the grand finale. Me and Douglas going to step outside while Andrew makes sweet, sweet love to this Tarantino trailer. We're just going to excuse ourselves. No one wants to see that, Andrew. So, Andrew, I hear that Tarantino is making a new movie.
Is he? What's he called? I don't know. Tell me.
The Django Unchained.
No. The D is silent.
Of course.
The
They caught my wife and they sold her, but I don't know who to. That means we visit every plantation until we find her. Once a final brutal brother lies dead in the dust, I agree to give you your freedom, and I'll take you to rescue your wife.
Where are we going?
Gentlemen, you had my curiosity, but now you have my attention.
Oh, Jesus, trailer is fantastic. And actually, to tell the truth, the first time I saw this trailer, I wasn't that enthralled by it, because it starts out really slow, and it has what I think is a Johnny Cash song playing as Waltz is going to meet Django and all that stuff. And in the moment that scene is over, it switches into what would be normal Tarantino music, into showing, hey, this is going to be a fun, like, ridiculous movie. But for some reason, my perceptions of what was going on with this film, I was expecting more of that low-key tone to what the movie would be, but the trailer is making it seem like more of a Tarantino exploitation kind of film, which I'm also game for.
But Tarantino doesn't do low-key, does he?
I know, but for some reason, like, when the trailer started, I went like, oh, this is going to be like the Coen Brothers' True Grit, except with Django and stuff. But then it turned into, oh, Tarantino is just going shitballs crazy. And it looks great. I'm actually really happy that Will Smith didn't take this movie, because he was supposed to be Django. And I can only imagine the amount of things Will Smith would have required to have been changed for a Tarantino movie. Wanting to keep his image or whatever.
No, I don't think so. What have you seen of Jamie Foxx's character that you think Will Smith would have changed?
Yeah.
No, not... Well, you see, the thing is, I believe that Jamie Foxx as an actor would be a lot more easier, be willing to have his image show a lot more crazy things that would be in a Tarantino movie than Will Smith. It's not in the trailer to show that, oh, Will Smith couldn't play what Jamie Foxx did in the trailer. But knowing Tarantino movies, there's going to be some crazy shit in there somewhere, and Will Smith wouldn't want to taint his image for that, really. I see Will Smith as one of those kind of actors who wants to stay completely pure in the public image eye, in the public's eye.
Will Smith was in Wild Wild West. Do you remember that? This is the
Damien, I'm not talking about good
image
in good movies. I'm talking about not being thought of as not having a bad image in what his characters do. Always having a certain pure high ground quality to them. I mean, if you look at Will Smith's the films he's done, I think the craziest movie you can say he's ever done was what?
Before you even get to Hancock, which I agree with Damien, but also, and I know you're going to make the argument that this was early in his career, but he was also in a movie called Six Degrees of Separation.
Right.
Where he lied about being Sidney Poitier's son and did all sorts of foolishness.
Right.
So,
earlier in his career, he played that gay character. I think it was
that's the same one.
Right, the same reason.
Yeah.
Right. So, mixing up those movies. Wow, that's even close. I'm pretty sure that it came out that the only reason he wasn't in the movie was scheduling. He's shooting this apocalyptic movie with his son, and that is why he didn't have the, between Men in Black and that movie, he couldn't make time in his schedule to be in the Tarantino movie. I didn't think that it was because he was opposed to being in a Tarantino movie. He doesn't strike me as that person. I'm pretty sure anything they tell him to do, he'd do.
Of course.
The only demands he'd have is that his trailer be bigger than the sun.
And that he screams in the movie once. He goes,
and takes
Whoa!
Off his shirt so that more women can come. I don't know.
Alright, I take that
he
back.
He doesn't
then.
Strike
I
me as
an
Ed Norton type. No, but I love seeing Jamie Foxx in it. Ed Norton, who is notoriously difficult to work with.
Well,
yeah.
I think Ed Norton is a completely sort of difficult. Ed Norton is more like, I want it to be exactly like my mind wants things to be, as opposed to what I was describing, which was more of the purity kind of thing. But whatever. Yeah, I get you.
Oh, purity. Oh, when you said purity, I think I understand what you're saying, but you mean purity in terms of that Will Smith wants to maintain an image of being pure.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So Andrew has just masturbated all over his trail.
Oh wait, can I just say one more thing? And I know this is This is probably a case of the trailer being cut purposefully for effect. And I think it's really asinine, if this is how it is in the movie, but in that opening scene where Waltz is going to get Django and he has what would look like a showdown with the slave owner, whatever he is, You see in the trailer the guy pull out the shotgun and point it, what you can only imagine is towards Christoph Waltz. And Christoph Waltz said, please, we're just doing business. He says, look, stop what you're doing, and I don't want your business, go away. And Christoph Waltz, what does he do? He drops the lantern and draws his gun and shoots the guy, who has a shotgun pointed at him from the beginning. Now, I don't care what the half-ass Western logic we put in which there's a one line which says Christoph Waltz is the fastest draw in the West, but that shit can't work, right?
I've played enough Red Dead Redemption to know that that is completely possible. Right? Right, Douglas?
Of course, of course.
Andrew, are you nitpicking a Tarantino trailer? Is that what's happening here? Is that what is happening?
It's, leave me alone. Right,
I'm
going
to ignore
Tarantino
your last
trailer.
Point. Please edit that out. I don't want to hear it.
Yes,
I thought this was mediocre.
Think?
I think Tarantino is past his prime.
He's telling you.
Is clearly going to be a train wreck. The Weinsteins have done it again, bet on Tarantino, and it will not pay off. No one is going to see this. Wait, is that Leonardo DiCaprio? Alright, never mind any other.
Y'all know I'm going to be there next week to kill you, right?
Leonardo DiCaprio is fast. There's actors that I love, right? And at the top of the list is Christian Bale. I think Leonardo DiCaprio, I mean, if I ignore Jedga that he put out last Christmas.
Oh, was that not good? I still haven't watched
it. It's one of those movies. It's not bad.
Yeah.
He acts. But it's, right. So ignoring that, although it's unfair to say that because Batman comes out before Django. And if Batman is what I think he's going to be.
Wow, Django is not going to...
Yeah, I don't think he's going to... Alright, never mind. We'll have this conversation in Christmas. But again, why is this movie coming out in Christmas? Why? We have too many movies coming out this summer. There's nothing coming out in... What's coming out in October? Why Christmas? Why on earth?
Because Quentin Tarantino wants to give us a Christmas present.
I can't take my family to go and watch Django Unchained. Right? Let's assume by Christmas I finally sorted out my life. Right? My wife and my child. Which, I don't know how that I'd swing that, but never mind. How do I bring my wife and child to this movie? How do I pitch that to them? Or does he just assume that anyone who likes Tarantino movies won't have a wife or be children? Is that what Tarantino said to us? Look, you're going to be alone on Christmas anyway. You might as well come and watch Django. Stop watching Kill Bill for the 14th time. It does look awesome, though. It really does.
So, Douglas?
D is silent. So good. So good.
Really and truly, it's hard to say anything. I mean, there hasn't been said about any other Quentin Tarantino movie for this trailer. Tarantino just really knows how to write those memorable lines. You know, the one-offs, the ridiculous things that are actually serious in the moment, but that's really funny to hear and to watch. And to use as you see fit, but this trailer, I guess there's nothing for me to say other than this is classic Tarantino, and of course I want to watch this movie.
But you know what? You know what's funny? 20 years from now, this will actually be classic Tarantino. Can you remember when we look back? Say something happens, Annie. Drops dead tomorrow, right? There will come a point where we will look back at his entire body of work and speak about it how we speak about other great directors. Like, yeah, you know, classic Kurosawa, classic Tarantino.
My goodness.
Classic Tarantino.
What if there's no wrong numbers? Maybe it's always the right number.
Hello?
Mom?
Jeff?
Hi.
You know you're supposed to say hello when you pick up the phone. Get off that couch or you're going to find someplace else to live.
It's kind of in the middle of something right now, Mom.
Jeff, what do you do in the basement? You're not cleaning it.
You really want to know? You didn't like it last time we had this conversation.
Okay, no, you're right. I don't.
Got a phone call from Randy.
Yeah, so this week I wanted us to sit down and talk about the latest film by the Duplass brothers, a pair of filmmakers who Douglas fell in love with a long time before I did. And I'm not quite sure how Damien feels about them, so I'm very interested to find out what he thinks about this film. As he talks about Jeff, this wayward individual who believes in overthinking and overanalyzing everything that happens in his life, that seems without pretense, looking for meaning. Damien, what did you think of this film? And also, what do you think of the Duplass brothers as filmmakers? Because I don't think you're as fond of them as we are.
I haven't seen enough of their movies to really have an opinion about them and their entire body of work. I've seen Cyrus, wasn't a big fan of that. And this movie is... I guess all their movies are pretty much in the same vein as Cyrus, no? They aren't?
No.
Well, this movie definitely was.
Yes, it was.
In the same vein as Cyrus, where they have characters that are a little bit ridiculous to me. And they put them in these situations and they have things kind of work out.
Oh, wow.
And they have a specific type of dialogue between them. I've seen a lot of people refer to the dialogue that are in their that are in their movies as being more natural, and I've heard it referred to as mumblecore, but I hate that word, so let us never use it ever again. I'm very sorry for bringing it up. But this movie I liked a little bit more than Cyrus. The problem is I don't think it is a better movie than Cyrus. I think my problems with Cyrus was to do with the character itself. And these characters were a little bit more ridiculous, so it was easier for me to get on board with the madness that they were going through. Jeff is this... guy who stays at home, of course, smokes weeds, smoke a lot of weed, and is in love with the movie The Signs, which the second that happened, you go, well, I guess I'm on board now, because this might be the most ridiculous character I've ever seen in a movie ever. And then you meet his brother, who is also ridiculous. The first time you see him, he's trying to convince his wife to... They live in a shithole, and he's trying to convince his wife that he should get a Porsche. But he already got the Porsche, so there's no convincing to be done. He fails to convince her, and then he shows her that, of course, he gets the Porsche. So he's equally, if not more, ridiculous than Jeff. And the only one who seems to be any kind of normal is their mother, who in herself, having a 30 odd year old man smoking weed in our basement every day, is clearly a lunatic. And the movie goes through essentially a day in the life of these guys, where everything at first goes to shit, and then by the end, everything gets better. That's not a spoiler, that's how all these movies work. And it was fun and engaging to watch. And watching these ridiculous characters play off each other, and watching the situations that they got in, and watching how they resolved these issues that they had, was pretty fun. I especially liked the mother, I don't remember what her name, I liked her, how she, there, she had a...
her character name was Sharon.
Her name in the movie, Douglas.
It's Sharon.
Right.
Douglas is someone we should hate.
I just had to punch him in the head. Right, so her character, she has these two sons which are completely retarded, and you learn throughout the movie that their father had passed away, and it was detrimental to both sons. And the mother is now in a situation where she hasn't had anybody essentially love her in a long time, and she finds out that she has a secret admirer. And I especially like that side of the story. It was pretty fun and unexpected how it worked out. The two brothers, their situations were a little bit more preposterous. Let's say, wouldn't happen to anybody ever. But because the movie set up for the movie was this guy who smokes weed and loves science. Anything else that happened, once you accept that, anything else that happened to these characters for the rest of the movie, you were on board with, because nothing is more ridiculous than that premise. And
so Damien, easy for me. Question. Yeah. Which part of that premise was more ridiculous? The 30-year-old man smoking weed, staying at home with his mother, or someone who likes science?
The science part. Yeah.
Okay.
He was really in love with science, and nobody, not even M. Night, is in love with that movie. After watching this movie, though, I went back and sat down and I watched Cyrus. I didn't bring it up in what we've been watching, because I knew we were going to talk about this movie. And I can recognize that Cyrus is a better movie. The dialogue is better, the situations that they were placed in were better, and C. Reilly outacts pretty much everybody else in this Jeff movie. But I still don't like that movie. I cannot get on board with most of the things that happen in that movie. And so while I can see where it is better, and I can see that they have a specific vision for these two movies, and they execute well on it, I definitely prefer Jeff Who Lives at Home over Cyrus. Douglas?
I think I like this movie. This movie is a little bit weird. It's
a lot weird.
Yeah, as you say, it's definitely more it's kind of more along the lines of Cyrus, but it's segmented. It's not one movie anymore, really. Or I shouldn't say that. It's not one story. It's a few stories that all come together at the end. And from that point of view, I kind of see this as almost a spoof of M. Night, which is kind of
awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome, and it's kind of, you know, where, like, how I think they get to the premise of this guy that loves science so much, and then this whole movie becomes like his version of science. I really don't have much to say about this movie. It was pretty decent. It surprised me because it wasn't really that funny. I expected something funny, especially because of the lead
Jason Segel and the guy Ed Helms, supporting actor. That's what I was looking for. So you kind of expect it to be funny, but it really, and that's a bit surprising. When you think of who is actually in this movie, you have Jason Segel as a lead and you have Ed Helms as supporting. And those are two really funny guys. I mean, you see actually both of those have their own shows and have a pretty decent movie career as well. So all based on comedy. So it kind of throws you, you know, for a loop there, which I'm sure those guys wanted to do. And which actually, in a way, they did with Cyrus as well, with John C. Reilly and Jonah Hill. I really like this movie. The more I think about it, the more I like this movie.
Oh, that you brought M. Night
spoof. Yes. you know, the way that this movie differs from Cyrus, I guess, is that it's all a bunch of stories that come together in the end, which, again, supports my... my thesis. Right? So I think that the acting was great. I think that the direction was great. I think we can just kind of tick off all of the items on the list for this movie, as well as the fact that it was engaging. I watched it the whole way through and didn't ever feel that there was a point where I was like, you know what, this movie is dragging or anything like that.
And it's despite these characters being so ridiculous, the conversations that they had between each other made perfectly.
Yeah.
You didn't go.
They were sincere, they were genuine. You know, it was a good movie. What was I going to say? There was something about this movie I was going to... Oh, you know what? There are two things I want to say. One is that I really like these guys, the directors, Jay and Mark Duplass. I don't think you watch this. No, you do watch this show, and I finally got Andrew to watch this show. But for those of you who don't know who these people are, you can at least see one of them on a regular basis. Mark Duplass stars in the FX comedy series The League, which is hilarious. If you have not started watching it, you need to.
Just to go up on a small tangent here about The League. Recently, Douglas got me to start watching The League. I've heard about it for years, but I just assumed that it wouldn't have been that good. So I saw all the third season, and sometime last week I sat down and went, when is the new seasons of The League come? And then I went, Damien, you haven't seen the first two seasons. You have more.
Wait, but I actually didn't understand. Like, how could you watch the third season?
Only saw the third season.
But there's so many things that it refers.
That
you need to watch the third season again.
Douglas, that is what I'm saying. When I'm like, oh right, I have more episodes. And I started watching the first. The thing about the show though is they make so many jokes about so many specific things that even in the third season, I got an idea of most of the thing. Why most of the things were funny.
Yeah.
I mean, Shiva is one of the big jokes that it. But, I mean, you know what the Shiva is, even if you just watch the third season, but you don't get fully
why it's understand.
So funny and so goddamn ridiculous. And the first two seasons are tremendous.
They're a work of art.
Third season.
I mean, I personally think the third season is... I don't even want to put the word worst in the sentence. I want to say the least good of the three, but it's still so funny.
Right. It's Michael Jordan's worst season.
Yeah.
It's Messi's worst season.
You mean the one where he's
anyway,
injured?
I just wanted to say...
I mean the one where he only scored 30 goals.
Yeah.
And not the 900 goals that he's on a click to not scoring. Someone should shoot at you. Yeah, more tangents. No, right. Back to this movie.
But yeah, so I think it's funny that I say, oh, I love all of these guys' movies and I've watched so many of them. And then I just looked at the IMDb filmography and realized that between the two, one, two, three, four, they've only directed about five movies. And I've actually only watched three of them. Cyrus, this movie, and Baghead, which I'm sure none of you have watched, right?
No, I haven't seen
Baghead is really good.
I've seen the puffy chair.
Seen the puffy chair?
No, Andrew's seen the puffy chair. Okay. I haven't seen the puffy chair yet. So,
but that fifth movie, no one has seen.
Well, no, because I don't think it's come out yet. But if it has, I'm going to watch it. But what I think is hilarious is that not Mark, but Jay Duplass. And for those of you who have seen the movie we're talking about, you'll understand this. He directed a documentary this year by the name of Kevin. And this, I'm sure, has absolutely nothing to do with the movie that we're talking about, but it makes so much sense, and I think that that's kind of hilarious.
I find it ridiculously interesting, especially from Damien's perspective, that he found more the Susan Sarandon plotline than Jeff and Pat. Ed Helms and Jason Segel.
Because her plotline could actually help.
In this movie, because I was actually the complete opposite. Because I found something really interesting about the Jason Segel character and his plotline. I mean, yes, there's that ridiculous introduction of him describing his love for M. Night Shyamalan's seminal film, Signs, and talking about the idea of all of these random... all of these random events eventually coming together to this one perfect moment, and how he is searching for these random events that will lead him towards his perfect moment, and he finds that in this random, in this phone call in which someone is asking for a Kevin, and he just starts going off looking for any Kevin he can find, and then we get that weird moment where he's following this dude off the bus who's wearing a jersey with the name Kevin on the back, and it looks like it's going to turn out all good, but it really doesn't at that point. But there's something that I find inspirational about that kind of a message in a film, because while it does at that first moment with the Kevin he's following doesn't turn out that great, by the end of the movie, just like with his love of Signs, everything does come together. There are those random moments which leads him to his perfect moment. And it even has a bit of the same thing which we all kind of praised another movie we reviewed for, City Island, talking about this one character being thrown into a family or a situation, and he ends up being the catalyst for everyone getting better, whether it be his brother and his marriage, or... Well, not so much his mother, but really the brother and his marriage, and even him as a character searching for that perfect moment. I kind of like that a lot. The Susan Sarandon scenes I found very, very odd, to be honest. Not so much the reveal or anything like that. Like, but that was kind of cool, and I did like the moment where she has her crazy decision and she goes on about it. But I feel like when the movie comes to an end and Susan Sarandon's involvement in it, it kind of undercuts everything that plot line.
Are you talking about her watershed moment?
Seriously?
Her watershed?
I think that's an... I think that word is
watershed,
is
sorry?
Correct context. Yes. Yes, her watershed moment.
Would you like to work for the Guardian? Moving to Britain. Can't get all these puns out of his system.
Sorry, Andrew, I didn't
Not
mean
really
to interrupt.
Then, but like,
keep going.
But really, like, at the end of the movie, where...
No, I know what you mean. The other reveal, the earlier one.
Yeah. Her crazy ass decision kind of gets undercut by Jeff's storyline, so I kind of feel like her thing wasn't fully realized, and I kind of was disappointed by that. But I did love the character of Jeff and the whole idea behind that character, and it kind of makes me wish that life was like that. It kind of makes me wish that I was like Jeff, in that I would have just finished watching, in this case, this movie. He would have just finished watching Signs for the 10th time. I would have just finished watching this movie, and I would be waiting for that phone call, a wrong number, to push me on a path to this grand story. I know that's not how real life works, but damn it, I wish.
But no, I think to just sum it up, it seems that myself and Andrew really like this movie, and Damon is more of a...
I like it.
More... You like it, but you don't think it's amazing.
Not amazing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, you guys have to understand, I really don't like service. So, the fact that they were able to get me on board with this movie so early on was pretty impressive. Mm. And the reason I prefer the Susan Sarandon section is because that could actually happen. What happened to those two idiots can never ever, not in a million, that's the only movie type nonsense.
But you know what though?
Mm-hmm.
As I said, that's the spoof of M. Night.
But
in a way,
looking at it like that, that is why I'm liking this movie. But the next time I watch it, I'll have that in the back of my mind. And that will make this movie more awesome.
But in a way, you know what I think it is? It's even better, right? That not only is it a spoof of M. Night, but it's a spoof of M. Night that goes on to actually be good. Because it's actually, you know me, right? You know that once you get into the territory of heartstring pulling and that kind of thing, I usually just shut off. But there were some genuinely sweet moments in this movie, and I was fully on board.
And that's
how good
both
this movie
is.
Yeah.
Alright, guys.
Yeah.
These two guys are idiots, but I'm on board.
Yeah.
And the wife character is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember her name, though.
I don't
I've
know
her
name, but she used to be in Arrested Development, and she's in 13 going on 30.
She's also the voice.
She's in a bunch of. She's
one of the receptionists in Archer, which I love.
I think she was also in a horrible movie, Barry Monday.
Everybody is in
bad movies. No, this is true. This is true.
Alright, guys, so Andrew's in love, Douglas is in love, Damien is in like. although this M. Night thing. It's really good, Douglas. Like how your brain works.
I actually would never have thought about M. Night's spoofs.
That is amazing.
Anyways, guys, I think it's time to say goodnight. This has been a wonderful podcast. You guys should
you know
go
what?
And watch this movie.
You know what? Hold on, before we go, before we go, I want to suggest something. Because I realize that Andrew has got me doing it now. And I'm sure that after no time at all, you'll be doing it as well. I think we should put on the website a counter. An anyways counter.
Mm-hmm.
So that every time we say that word on the podcast, it racks up another.
And we should put the Mofado version and just dub it over every time he says it. That's how we fit anyway. That would be great.
I agree.
I can't wait till I have time to edit this podcast again. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm welcome. Oh no, we need a shitty outro. Like, oh, we have a terrible intro. I and welcome is our terrible intro. We need a equal. And guys, I don't want you to think that we don't know that our intros and segues aren't very good.
But I tried very hard to
become so much a part of what the podcast is that it doesn't. Remember when Andrew used to do those long intros to the movie?
Yeah,
to write them
down.
And then as soon as he's finished, he's like, anyway, I just destroy them. Oh, it's so good. Good times. This podcast hasn't changed one iota. No matter how much we try, it's just the same shitty podcast that I love. I love it. Except when Andrew cheats on us, of course.
Yes.
And talks about movies we can't see.
Yes.
Which thanks to that, Andrew.
Oh, I can see.
What? Cheating on you or seeing or watching movies you can't see?
Both. More watching movies that we can't see. The cheating, that's to be expected. Alright, guys?
Yeah.
No?
I don't apologize. Let's make that clear.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so please come back and listen to more episodes. We're over at gmanreviews.com. I'm on Twitter at gmanreviews. Douglas, he's DJ, our last his name. Damien, I think he lives somewhere in the bush. I don't know if you can find him there. Otherwise, I think that's pretty much it. So thanks for listening. Good night.
A messed up kid with no ideas at all. I thought those 2016, I shouldn't give them away. I remember this young guy died and I took his part. He got vitamin and stitches on his pretty face. A long time to see, but I always thought this dude would be serious. I was looking around town, thinking the same as you.